Ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11.
About that, right? Incredible to see and to feel. I hope you felt that this morning as we've started on this day. I shared that with you for two reasons, because I have two questions I want to ask you. Number one, how many of you in this room were alive and saw that when it happened? How many of you? Okay, a lot of you guys. Yeah, awesome. And then the second question is, how many of you feel like after this breakfast, you're going to walk out of here looking like Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin, the way they walked in those? Yeah, I hope we filled you up good, and you feel like you're carrying an extra suit with you. How about giving a hand to our guys for the great job serving our meal and getting us going this morning? It really is hard to believe that that was a half a century ago. And I was 11 years old. I had turned 11 the day before that event occurred. So yeah, real quick in the math, I'm 61. So I'm getting up there. I'm older now than I was the last time I stood here. And some of you have gotten older too. I thought I'd mention that as I look out across you this morning. You know, the drama of all that happened leading up to Apollo 11 in 1969 was something that had been captivating to the heart of our nation, and frankly an incredible vision for the world. And the projection that came out of that from all of the discoveries and all the tests really changed the future of the world in which we live, and we continue to benefit from it today. And of course, because of all the drama that surrounded and all of the excitement that surrounded what happened with Apollo 11, there have been a lot of movies made about the launches that occurred and the lunar landings that followed and all that was involved. I don't know if you've seen some of those, but they continue even until now. One of my favorites was the movie The Right Stuff, which was a great movie. It's a movie that really is kind of the title and the heart of what I want us to be talking about. Because I believe that every man in his life has stuff, all kinds of stuff that are going on with you and your family and your job and all of that. But at the end of the day, the biggest question that has to be asked and answered in your life and mine is, are you doing the right stuff? Are you living for the right stuff? And so we're going to use that as a launch point for us today. Of course, beyond The Right Stuff, there are the movies Apollo 13, Apollo 18, Hidden Figures, First Man, all of these fascinating movies about what happened in 1969. But of course, what happened then, just like what's happening in your life today, all happened because of a series of sequential actions that took place. Beyond the amazing courage of those early astronauts who trained and risked their lives to potentially lose their lives to try to advance space exploration, the biggest thing that had to happen was that there was a sequence of specific timelines and events that all had to come together in order to make a launch happen. Some of you know, most of you know who know me, that I lived for 6 years on the Space Coast. And yes, I've kind of held my breath over this last week as we've watched the approach of this massive storm along the eastern seaboard of the United States. I know we're still praying, still waiting, not sure what's going to happen. And as a church, we're trying to be ready and prepared to respond if there are additional needs going forward. I hope you are praying for the people of the Bahamas. And the devastation that is there is overwhelming. But as I watched that approach of that hurricane this week, I remembered how many times I watched the Space Center prepare for those sorts of events. And of course, while I lived there, the 6 years I lived there, the space shuttle program was still active, and there were 42 different launches with the space shuttle program. I had the opportunity to actually go to the firing room, the place where all of the technicians and all of the leadership would sit. I've sat in the chair of the launch director and watched downrange and been able to look at those towers where each of these missions went up and occurred. And it really was a fascinating time in life and a wonderful experience. But that's kind of been a part of my life since I was a kid. But all of that to say that the most amazing thing beyond the courage is the sequence of events that have to take place in order to make a launch, to make a mission happen. And in much the same way that the clock would count down and they would go through the series of checklists, making sure everybody was together, every portion was firing together, in that same way, your life every day is a series of sequences. In fact, your life is a sequence of days. And the most important thing about your life is, what are you doing today? And each day that makes a difference in your life. Because every life has two specific books. There's a baby book that begins your life, and there's a book of remembrance that closes your life. And life is what happens in the dash in between. That's what they put on the marker, isn't it? They put the day of your birth, the day of your death, and then there's the dash. And the question is, what is happening in the dash of your life that makes your life matter, that makes your life make a difference, that will indeed ultimately impact the lives of others? So what I want to do this morning is, in order to talk about doing the right stuff, I want us to try to take three big ideas about life, about time, about you, about me, and I want us to try to put those things together and walk away maybe with some challenge, insight, encouragement that will help you help me to do the right stuff. So the first big idea I want us to talk about and think about is this: time is what makes life sequential. Time is what makes life sequential. Far from being freeform and just sort of unfolding, life is sequential. It's a series of days. And you live life one day at a time, 1 hour at a time, 1 second at a time. And I'm sure glad that you gave us the time of your life this morning to come and to be a part of this gathering. This really is phenomenal, guys. I promise you there's nothing else happening like this in the CSRA right now. And so I don't know if you're gluttons for punishment or just gluttons who came for a good breakfast, but I'm glad you're here. And all that to say that life is a series of sequences of things that happen. Just like if you've ever seen a massive domino display, you hit one domino and then everything else happens from there because of time and togetherness. They're close enough together and the time makes it happen. And that's kind of what happens in life for us. The first domino falls, and when it does, from that point forward, life just moves. And we're in it and we're doing it. And so because life is sequential, it's important for us to look at life and understand that about life and to be sure that we all understand that we are living in an invisible reality called time. Time is one of the invisible realities created by God. One of the others that you and I know very well is gravity. No one in this room can see gravity. We can only describe it and experience it. We can deny it. We can deny all day long what gravity is, but the truth is, if your weight becomes counterbalanced from standing up, you're going down. You're going to fall. And gravity always takes over. It's an invisible reality that impacts every one of our lives. And time is just like gravity. And God has created time, and God has set the order of our days. And therefore, it is understanding that your life has days and time that it is important for you to determine to do the right stuff. Henry Austin Dobson said this, "Time goes, you say? Ah, no. Alas, time stays. We go." We're going. The dominoes are falling. And time is what continues. And so, just like the Apollo 11 launch and subsequent launches were built on a variety of stages where they would go up so far and then that stage would drop off and the next stage would take over, so that's how we live our lives. Every man in this room is going through what we call the stages of life. Now, some of you think you're still stuck in earlier stages and you're in latter stages, but all of that to say that life is a series of stages, and therefore we have to be sure that we don't waste the stages of life. And so wherever you are and whoever you are and however many years you have on your clock, there is still something valuable for you to see and me to see today. In the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon wrote these words, "For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up." Do you hear this ticking of the clock? A time, a time, a time, a time. And he talks about all the experiences and all the stages of life. And then he comes down and closes with this, and it says, "God has made everything beautiful in its time, but he has also put eternity into man's heart." God has not only given you the ability to live in time, but God has given you the opportunity to live for something much more than time. And so while you're walking through the sequential nature of time in your life, and the clock is ticking for each and for all of us, it is vital for us to see and to know the importance of dealing with doing the right stuff. So that's the first thing. Time is a sequential thing that we are all dealing with in our life. It is time that adds the sequence to life. So here's the second major thought for you this morning, and that is that time management is essential. Managing your time, ordering your time, watching the clock, making good decisions. Last year, the AFC Championship game between the Kansas City Chiefs and the New England Patriots was ultimately determined by the fact that there was some faulty clock management. Those of you who are Georgia fans are aware of the fact that Sony Michel was a part of the big plays that were made in the latter moments of that game with the Patriots. But all of that to say that all of the articles the day after had to do with Andy Reid, who was the coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, all of the articles had to do with how he managed the clock. And every one of us has been a part of a game to which we were attached, in which we were connected, and in which we were engaged, only to watch something happen with the clock. And you just thought, why don't you stop the clock? Or why don't you do better management of the clock? And just as you've seen that in life in a football game, how much more important do I see that in your life, and do I want to bring that to you this morning? I want you to manage the clock. I want you to act like what you're doing matters. And I want you to do it in a way in which what you do with your life is something that drives you to win in life, because you want to manage the best of your life as you look forward. Robert Orban said, "Time flies. It's just up to you to be the navigator." And the question is, what are you doing to navigate your life? And how is your navigation as you look forward at your life? I love these words by Robert Morgan, who wrote a book called Mastering Life Before It's Too Late. He said, "Until we appreciate the value of time and learn to manage it with skill, we can never manage ourselves. But in learning to regulate time, we learn to govern life. For life is measured in hours and minutes, just as the body is measured in pounds and ounces." Management of time is our greatest stewardship, even greater than the stewardship of our money. Time is like currency of a different realm. It is the coinage of life. Your time matters. And of all of the things that happen in life, nothing is more valuable than the way in which you handle and manage your time. How you deal with time, with the days that you have, with your family, with the contribution of your life, with your relationships, with your wife, your children, your friends, with God. And yet for so many of us, the time of life keeps slipping away. And the time of life keeps being mismanaged because there are three things that tend to impact our use of time. And those three things are these: misdirection, inaction, and distraction. Every man in this room fights the tension just as much as you can fall and topple with gravity. Every one of us has the temptation and the opportunity to fall with regard to the management of life because of these things. Misdirection, we do the wrong things. We're living, but we're doing the wrong thing. We're going the wrong way. Then there's inaction, where we're just doing nothing. We're just letting time in its sequence pass, but we're doing nothing. And the nothingness only adds to the emptiness and to the loss of what is most valuable, that is life. And then there is distraction. We do everything but what matters most. We're busy, we're engaged, we're doing stuff, but we're doing everything but what really matters the most. And so the three, or should I say, the triangulated reality of misdirection, inaction, and distraction all have a tendency to take us away from our mission and to do the wrong stuff rather than to do the right stuff. There are two goalposts in Scripture, one in the Old Testament and one in the New Testament, that talk to us about this matter of time management and life management. The one in the Old Testament comes from Psalm 90. And in Psalm 90, which is actually written not by David, as many of the Psalms are, but ultimately a prayer of Moses. And by the way, you do know that Moses was the first man who had a tablet connected to the cloud. Did you all know that? That was Moses. Well, at least you're still out there listening a little bit, I know. But in Psalm 90, the Scripture opens and says, "Lord, you've been our dwelling place in all generations," and begins to talk about, "You return man to dust and say, return, O children of man." He talks about life and lifespans. But then down in verse 12, this is the heart of the prayer. Moses prays, "Oh, so teach us to number our days." Listen to that phrase. "Teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of" what? Of wisdom. Okay, so let's start at the end of that verse. What is the opposite of wisdom? Foolishness, right? It is a foolish thing to waste your life. The most foolish thing you can do is to ignore the invisible reality and significance of time and to waste your life. And so for that reason, he simply says here, "So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." So we start at the end of that, and it talks about the issue of being wise versus being foolish. It also talks about the fact that everything that drives the way I deal with my days has to do with my heart. The motivation of what's going on in me. The heart is not talking about the pump. It's talking about the motivations of your life and the ambitions of your life and the affections of your life. And so the question is, how do you become wise? You have to deal with what's going on inside of you. We tend to think that all of our time is determined by what happens outside of us, and yet the Scripture is clear, it's what's happening inside of you. And then it goes on to say, "So teach us to number our days." Our days are sequential. They come to us one at a time, little packages of one day at a time, and that's how we live. And then he says, "So teach us." We have to learn. We have to investigate. We have to study. We have to think through the way in which we're going to deal with life. And so one of the greatest and wisest things that you can do every day is to come to God with that same prayer. And to begin every day by seeking God's wisdom in the way in which you would live and ultimately give your life. There's a little pamphlet on every table. It's called Crazy Busy. And I came across this recently and just thought this would be an incredible thing for you to walk away with, because I think it really talks to you about the wisdom of attending to what's going on inside of you in life. And so I want to encourage you to take this pamphlet and use this pamphlet, and let this pamphlet be something that is helpful to you as you look forward and as you look at your life and as you look at your days. That's the Old Testament passage. Now let's take a quick peek at the New Testament passage. Over in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 15, listen to what Paul says. He says, "Look carefully then how you walk." What happens if you're not careful when you're walking? You fall down. Why? Because there's something called gravity, right? You're going to stumble and gravity's going to take over. So in comparing the way we walk, he then says this, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the, what's the word? Time. What you do with your time? Make the best use of time because the days are evil. That is, it's a lot easier for life to be wasted and wasted on things that don't matter and things that are destructive and things that are injurious. And it says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, which is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. That there needs to be inside of you a different kind of a spirit that gives you wisdom in the way in which you live and live out your life. And so if that instruction was needed several millennia ago before people had clocks and computers and the calendars that we operate from today, how much more do we need to see and hear this and overcome all of the clutter and the debris that tends to overwhelm our lives? By the way, I was fascinated to read an article, got it here with me somewhere, just a few days ago about the fact that that ultimately there is a tremendous amount of debris in space. There have been 5,250 launches, 5,250 since October the 4th of 1957 when the Soviet Sputnik launched their first satellite. Today, it is estimated that 94% of the objects in orbit qualify as being space debris. They're just relics from former missions that have been decommissioned and are just floating around in space. The total, 8,267 tons of debris are just floating in space. That means anybody who's launching anything needs to be careful because there's a lot of debris out there. And I want you to know there's a lot of debris that can take over your life. That's why you've got to get to time management, because it is essential in your life. It's essential. I don't know how many of you have read the book Essentialism, The Disciplined Pursuit of Less by Greg McKeown, but the book is really an excellent book, probably one of the best time-related books I've read in the last, say, 5 to 10 years even. And in that book, he says this. He says, essentialism is not about how to get more things done. It's about how to get the right things done. It doesn't mean just doing less for the sake of less either. It's about making the wisest possible investment of your time and energy in order to operate at the highest point of contribution by only doing what is essential. That almost sounds biblical, doesn't it? Huh? It almost sounds like this leadership guru actually read the scripture. Teach me to number my days. Help me to be wise in the way in which I handle them. He gives an illustration in that book, and I think I've got that illustration for you, about the way that so many of us burn and use our energy in life. He says that many of us are living, and we're going in so many different directions at one time, all of our energy is being dissipated. And what is vital is to come back to the fact that you are able to jettison the strength of your life and the best of your life, the energy of your life in one direction so that you do what is essential and that instead of just scattering, you create that line, you create that focus going forward. Probably the first tool that I ever had or used in helping me as a young man to think about time and life and what I did was something called a little booklet called The Tyranny of the Urgent. I looked into trying to get these for everybody, and I just wasn't quite able to find the right way to make it happen for you. You can go on Amazon, just type in Tyranny of the Urgent. The author is a man by the name of Charles Hummel. But in this little booklet, Hummel talked about the fact that so many of us live struggling with the tyranny of the urgent. And the premise is simply this, that in most of our lives, it is the urgent that crowds out the important. That the urgent is what is louder than what is important in life. And so he sort of shows life in four different quadrants, and I want to show you this. Quadrant number one, he talks about the things that are important and the things that are urgent. Those are things we have to deal with in life. Those are crises that come in, deadlines that come in, meetings that have to happen, repairs that, you know, right now, if a storm hits your house and takes the roof off, you got to put a roof back on the house. I mean, that's a urgent and an important. You can't just act like that didn't happen. So all of us in life have to deal with the quadrant called the urgent and the important. But then the second quadrant are the things that are important, but they're not urgent. And think about these. Vision and mission. Isn't it hard to have time to really think about what needs to happen next, where you need to be going? If you lead something, how you need to move from where you are to what's next? I mean, so much of life is like treading water. We're surviving, and yet what we really need to be doing is advancing, and yet mission and vision, planning, clarifying your values, investing in your relationships. It's amazing how often we establish a relationship, especially with a mate, a life partner, and then we just kind of let it stand, hoping it's going to take care of itself while we're busy putting our energy in other things. I was telling our people just a few weeks ago, what you appreciate in life appreciates. It goes up in value. And when you invest in a marriage, when you invest in a life relationship, when you invest in your children, those relationship values go up. But we have to be honest, those things don't tend to be as urgent every day is all of the other things that come into life. So they fit into that urgent, or should I say important, but not urgent category. Then number three, you can see that the things that are urgent, but not important. Phone calls, emails, voicemails, text, interruptions, reports, drop-ins, just the stuff that happens every day. But because it happens with a sense of, and comes to us with a sense of urgency, we feel like right now I need to handle this. And certainly there are times when you do. But if your life just becomes lived in quadrant three of doing what's urgent but not important, then you obviously see the outcome of that in life. Then quadrant four are the things that are not important and not urgent. Trivia, internet, games, escape, junk mail, busy work. Things that we can give ourselves to. But all of that to say that when we look at it and when we evaluate it, it's what takes us away from what is essential in life. And so I'm trying to say to you today, life is sequential. You're living it. The dominoes are falling. Managing your time, therefore, is essential. So let's come down to the third and the last thing that we want to look at, and that is simply this. Time matters. So let's get practical. Let's spend some time before we walk away today talking about ways to deal with today and some thoughts that really need to sort of guide and govern the sequence of life and the essential management of life. And I really do think these are very simple things, but I think they're things that matter to me. They're the things I have to come back to again and again. I actually have talked about these things on numerous occasions. I may have even told you about them in some other former gathering here, but given the fact I'm now 61, I don't remember what I said from one time to another, so you have to give me some grace. Psalm 118, verse 24, a simple verse that if you get around church much, you'll probably hear somebody say. It says this, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us do what? And be what? Glad in it." This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let me tell you five ways you can maximize your days. Five ways to maximize your days in life. Number one, view each day as a gift from God. When you get up and you open your eyes, you take a breath, you get out of bed, don't groan and grunt. Say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you. You know, there are two ways to begin the day. Good Lord, it's morning, or good morning, Lord. And you need to say, good morning, Lord. You need to realize that you've been given a gift. Life is not a sentence, it's a gift. And so take the day and seize the day and see it as a gift that has been given to you by God, because today matters and attitude is everything in the way that you approach your day and the way that you engage your day. Give thanks for that day. David Carter, a friend who may be in this room. David, are you here this morning? Do I see you in this room? I thought he was going to be in the room. There he is. There he is, right there, looking for you. David Carter faced some challenges in his life that really threatened his future a number of years ago. But whenever I'm around this brother, one of the things he says to me over and over, I say, David, how are you doing? He always says, I am great today because every day is a bonus. I love that. It's a bonus. I hope you realize that every extra day you get is a bonus day. So treat it like a bonus. Treat it like something special. Do something that matters with that day. It's a bonus. Treat every day as a gift from God. Secondly, live in the present tense. Live in the present tense. This is one of the hardest things for us to do in life because there are 2 days that take the joy out of today. One of them is yesterday, the other one is tomorrow. So many times we're frustrated by yesterday. We're frustrated by what didn't happen. We're frustrated by disappointment. We're frustrated by failed goals and dreams in life. And we let yesterday just keep driving us to destroy today. The other thing we do is we let the anxiety about tomorrow take the joy out of today. And so rather than living the package of life that we have today, we just keep being anxious about tomorrow and what I'm going to do tomorrow and how am I going to handle this and what am I going to do about this. And those things begin to dominate our lives. And so most of us tend to live on a to-do list of I didn't do that and I need to do this, and we're constantly trying to make that our life management tool. Well, get away from just a bunch of to-dos in life and wake up each day and determine what do I need to do to, in my life, make sure that I do the best things and the right things today. If you practice, it was Eugene Peterson, let me just read this to you. Eugene Peterson wrote a book and he said this, "The appointment calendar is the tool to help you get unbusy." Your appointment calendar is the tool that can help you get unbusy, and I would add, and do what is important. And he said this, if you will practice blocking, that is schedule blocking today, you will be amazed how easy it is to avoid tackles tomorrow. What that means is because there are those important but non-urgent things that ultimately are the tripping points in life, you and I need to take time to schedule those things into life. We need to schedule in time to think. We need to schedule in time to pray. We need to schedule in time to continue to court and romance and advance our relationship with our wives. We need to take time to be with our children. We need to make time. And if you'll put the big things in your schedule and go ahead and block out the big things that need to happen, then you can do all the other stuff all around that. That can fill in the space. But if you're not really careful to block in and block out and today say, this is my priority today, then that's going to happen. You're not going to live in the present. You're going to constantly be living in the past with regrets or in the future with anxieties. So live in the present and learn how to do the big blocking that needs to happen. You, by the way, are my priority today. My tea time is my second. I always like tea at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. See, you thought it was something else, didn't you? I'm not playing golf today. But you know something really funny? Around the 1400s, the word priority became a word. It was the first thing. And it wasn't until 1900 that we added the S to it and made it plural. It was always priority. But what do we always talk about? Priorities. And that's part of our problem. We're so busy trying to multitask the priorities of life that we don't do the things that are the priority. And so just be sure that in the present tense you do what is priority and that you put that in front of you. So let's say that, let's make that our third thing. Number one, view each day as a gift from God. Number two, live in the present tense. Number three, set priorities for each day. A priority. Greg McEwen said this in the book Essentialism, if you don't prioritize your life, someone else will. And that is so true. Believe me, doing what I do as a pastor If I do not prioritize my life, somebody else will take every single moment. And I want to give as much of my life as I can. But I can destroy my relationships, I can destroy my health, I can destroy my mental and emotional well-being if I do not realize that I have to know what the priority is and make sure that I maintain it. Number four, refuse to procrastinate. Edward Young said, "Procrastination is the thief of time." And every one of us in this room, including me, has something that we are procrastinating today. We didn't do it yesterday, and we didn't do it the day before then, and we didn't do it then, but we're still putting it off. And there are some things that we procrastinate. I heard this little jingle that said, "Procrastination is my sin. It always causes sorrow. I must do something about it then, and I will tomorrow." Yeah, that's procrastination. And that's how so many of us live our lives. And so whatever you need to do, be sure that you do it today. I would just say that may be the simplest takeaway from everything we've talked about this morning. What do you need to do today? Living in the present tense, not procrastinating till another day and another time. What do you need to do today? And simply say, "I'm going to do the right stuff." Fascinating to learn just in some reading that Ronald Reagan made it a habit, President of the United States made it a habit that when he had spare moments, do you know what he did when he didn't have somebody in his office, something awaiting a caller? Do you know what he did? He cleared out his desk drawers. He cleaned his desk drawers. Isn't that crazy? The President of the United States thought, "Well, I think I'll open the drawer and see what needs to be taken out of here." Such a simple little practice, wasn't it? But it helped him to have an uncluttered life. And our problem is we just let the clutter build and the clutter build and the clutter build, and we procrastinate and we live in another time and place. And the result of that is that we don't make the most of the little things that we have. Make the most of little moments in your life. Do things that matter. Learn to take time and make time to read in your life. Men, the biggest discipline that men struggle to establish is reading. We don't like to read. We don't want to read. We like to look at pictures. We don't like to read words. And I'm telling you, the one thing that will change your life is learning to read. It could be a short article. Now don't go, don't go out of here and say, "I'm going to start reading," and go pick you up a 1,000-page book and say, "No, don't do that. Why don't you just read that little pamphlet I gave you today? That'd be something worthwhile." Just do that. You read today. You can even technically say, "I read a little book today." It's a real little book. But I'm just telling you guys, reading is something that changes the way that you think and the way that you look at life. And one of the greatest disciplines is that. I think that's why God gave us His Word. The Word of God is a letter that has been written that we might read and hear and know the mind of God and the will of God for our lives. So take a book in the Bible, maybe the book of James, 5 chapters. You could read a chapter a day for 5 days. It'd be a great way to read. You could take the book of Ephesians that I mentioned and read a chapter a day 6 days a week. I mean, these books are not that long. But learn to read and also learn to listen. So many times we're so busy talking and expressing and saying things that we don't listen. And we need to learn to listen. By the way, one of the greatest things you can do is listen to books. If you really don't like to read, just get an Audible account or something like that and listen to books. When you're driving, take time to do it. Because most men never move beyond the last book they read in college. Or some book they bought and put on the table and have never touched. Learn to use the small spaces of your life to do things that will matter in your life. That brings me to the very last thing that I would mention to you, and that is choose to enjoy today. Not only view each day as a gift from God, but choose to enjoy today. Choose to let today be a day that matters in your life. Make a choice about it and enjoy it. Live with intentionality. Don't let this day get away. This isn't just another day, another dollar. This is today. And I want you to make the most of today. And I want you to do the right stuff because there's so much stuff that's the wrong stuff for you to give your life to. Benjamin Mays said this, "Life is just a minute, only 60 seconds in it. Forced upon you, can't refuse it. Didn't seek it, didn't choose it, but it's up to you to use it. Give an account if you abuse it. Just a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it." Do the right stuff. Thanks for being here and come back next week. See you then.